You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
It's a lie that Satan rules his world as Jesus Christ rules his. The two are not in the same league at all.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Jesus Christ, conqueror of sin, death, and hell, forgive us the sins that terrorize us, and give us life without fear, that we may go out and about in this world with courage and confidence in your presence and power, your living presence, and your invincible power. Amen. People go to extremes when they talk about Satan or the devil. Either they write him off and deny his existence altogether, or they make him the Lord of the universe, capable of taking over everyone and everything. I wouldn't be surprised that those lies about Satan were started by Satan himself. Jesus Christ called him the father of lies. That's the realm in which Satan is king. He knows all about lies. How to tell them and how to get others to repeat them. His technique is the big lie, supported by little lies all over the place. The biggest lies of all are the ones Satan tells about himself. As St. Paul said in the 11th chapter of his second letter to the Corinthians, deceitful people can disguise themselves even as the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is not strange if his servants also are able to disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. There's no disposition, you notice, for St. Paul to write off Satan as if he does not exist. He knows better than that. St. Paul was way ahead of the age of enlightenment when people got so smart that they thought of Satan as medieval and gave themselves over without protest to the evil that Satan is always promoting. On the day after Christmas last year, a film called The Exorcist opened in 22 cities of the United States. The result was sensational. People lined up for blocks, night after night, to see the thing that had so easily been labeled as medieval. They knew better. Satan is as modern as today's newspaper. Wherever there are lies to be told, there he is, having a field day. The Exorcist wiped out one lie, but it probably perpetuated another. Once they are convinced that Satan exists, people easily get the idea that he is all-powerful. He can control the universe, and he can control their lives. He can, of course, if they let him. But he is not all-powerful. St. Paul found that out for himself. He had been living a lie for a long time. As he looked back on those days, he could see what Satan had done to him under the guise of righteousness. Paul thought he was doing God a service. And now he realized that he had been just a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Instead of helping, he had been doing nothing but harm. Instead of serving God, he had just been defying him, That's an old trick of Satan's. Not so hard to accomplish when people let him do it. Cults of Satan have arisen in the modern world. They're like those older cults whose symbol can be seen all over the world. A veteran missionary from China was showing me some of the great art that has come from that time-honored culture of China. It is filled with dragons. This man speaks Chinese as well as anybody, even well enough to joke in Chinese, which is quite an accomplishment. He said to me that the scholars of China don't know where the dragon comes from. But he added, I could tell them. There's a long-standing fear in all of humanity caused by the evident power of Satan. Call it superstition or what you will, there it is. It is a real fear of a real force in a real world, a force that is hard to combat because it works by lies. There's a real possibility that men can be taken and driven by Satan to madness, rage, and self-abuse as you saw it in The Exorcist. It's not nearly as common, however, as being driven, sometimes in the name of righteousness and respectability, into the ordinary forms of inhumanity, which make a father a beast around the house, a mother into a nagging shrew, a brother or a sister into a gossipy troublemaker, and children into rebellious tyrants wreaking senseless destruction upon their own families and upon the whole community. That's Satan's work, too, and he is probably prouder of it than of anything depicted in The Exorcist. One of the lies about the devil is that everything he does is outlandish. That's not true. A lot of his best work occurs in the ordinary affairs of everyday life. The world needs to be warned about his subtlety and suavity, as well as about the violence he can cause. More often than not, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, and his servants are often able to disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. People are very impressed with power, especially the power to control other people. That's where Satan does some of his most effective work. That sort of power has its own penalties, of course, because God is still the Lord, and he still says, thus far and no farther. But you don't hear Satan telling people about the penalties of power. He just gets them to venerate that power, and if possible, to worship the powerful. There's a terrible preoccupation in our world with power, and people are easily sucked into the vanity of power. Some of them want to have power themselves, and others get a sense of power just out of being associated with those who are in power. Vanity of vanities, said a man of power about just such a situation. Satan makes use of that human vanity, having got a very big dose of it himself. The vanity of power is Satan's Achilles heel. That vanity made him promise the Lord of heaven and earth that he, Satan, would give him the kingdoms of the world. Jesus Christ did not look like the Lord of heaven and earth at that moment. He was a man, but he was God's man. That's the way God does things. He doesn't have to parade his power. He sends his son as a man, an ordinary man, even a kind of sub-ordinary man. Our Lord said that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not even got a mortgage to his name. He was not complaining. My bread, he said, is to do the will of my Father who sent me and to complete his work. He said to Satan, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's the kind of talk our world needs today, preoccupied as it is with power and taken in by the vanity of power. It's a lie that Satan is all-powerful. And it's a lie that Satan rules his world as Christ rules his. The two are not in the same league at all. The archangels Michael and Gabriel can be compared on God's side with Satan on his side. But Jesus Christ, that's something else again. He is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Satan is not the counterpart of Christ. He is an opponent of God, but he is not the Son of God. He has power, but he is not God. He might disguise himself as an angel of light, but there is no light in him. He may be the prince of darkness, but life is in Jesus Christ, and his life is the light of men. Wherever Jesus Christ confronts Satan, Satan always loses. Jesus Christ, you see, is in a class all by himself. Jesus Christ died, and Satan thought he had won. While he and his cohorts were having celebration, the Son of God lay in a borrowed tomb. From that lonely grave, where no corpse had yet been laid, he rose from the dead, and the tomb is empty today. In all his victorious humanity, he is alive. He is Lord. He gave his life for the life of the world. And his life is the light of men today. You can always tell a servant of righteousness by his relationship to Jesus Christ. There is no other test. It isn't a question of whether he says things with which you may agree or not. It isn't that he makes high-sounding speeches about righteousness. Human righteousness can turn out to be a mighty tawdry business. There's no sin against God so great as the self-righteousness of people who proclaim their own goodness and parade their own virtues. There's only one true test of real righteousness. That's a person's relationship to God in Jesus Christ. You don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ until you confess yourself to be a sinner in need of his forgiveness. He died that you might be forgiven. He paid the price for your sin, that you might accept the grace of God and his forgiveness for the sake of Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of righteousness. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, said Jesus Christ, you will in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a pretty hard statement. The scribes and Pharisees were very respectable people. But respectability is not enough. It takes a lot more than that. It takes genuine contrition for all too human sin, for defiance of God, for rebellion against him, for our self-glorification and our deliberate dependence upon ourselves instead of upon him. What it takes is genuine faith in God, that he means what he says. He forgives. Jesus Christ is the living proof of God's forgiveness. He is the deliverer of God's forgiveness. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again from the dead that we might stand holy and blameless in the presence of God, made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in God is what it takes to make a man or a woman. I've known boys and girls who can teach us something about that. They have faith in God, and they are big people even in their young years. They know God because they know Jesus Christ. They have faith in God because they trust Jesus Christ. They love God because they love Jesus Christ. That's the stuff of which real righteousness is made. Everyone who is in Christ, said St. Paul, is a whole new creation. A man in Christ is a new man. And a woman in Christ is a new woman. Boys and girls in Christ are new boys and girls. That's what it takes to live. And they have it. They are not taken in by the vanities of power and pride and position, nor are they overawed by the power of Satan. They have Christ, and he is the victor over Satan and sin and death. He is the conqueror of hell. Take Christ as your Savior, my friend. And don't worry about today or tomorrow. What's today or tomorrow when you have all of eternity as a present possession? You're free to go out today and tomorrow. With a light heart, a firm step, and a clear eye. Jesus Christ is in today, and he will be in tomorrow. My sheep hear my voice, he says, and I know them, and they know me. They shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And I will give to them eternal life. That's his promise, and he keeps his promises. Jesus Christ promises his men and women, his boys and girls, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. He promises to share his strength and power so that no one of his company faces Satan alone. His people are always in the company of the victor over sin, death, and Satan. The battle is really over. Satan has been defeated. That's something you won't find in The Exorcist. But you do find it in the Bible. What is happening today is what happens after a war. Though the victory is complete, there continues to be a time when there are skirmishes and battles to be won. Satan is fighting a rear guard action. Some of the struggles he wins, I'm afraid. But the end is sure, and he knows it. He would like you to believe that the outcome is still in doubt. But he knows better than that. Martin Luther was very aware of the devil. He said in his great hymn, "Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. That word is the word of God. It is the word of God in Jesus Christ, his son. God has spoken, and Jesus Christ is his last word. As Luther said, with might of ours can naught be done. Soon were our loss affected, but for us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. You ask, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever. The devil is not a purposeless horror capriciously terrorizing a young girl. He is the enemy of God, doing his worst to make you afraid and to capture your heart in that fear. Don't be taken in by Satan's lies, the lies he tells about himself, and the lies he tells about God. God is Lord, and Jesus Christ is his son. He is Lord. It is true that man does not live by bread alone. And it is also true that he does live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen.